Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path, and that it's your spirit that's our teacher today, that I'm just a vessel for pouring, and these, your sheep, are vessels for receiving, and it's your spirit illuminating your word today. And he doesn't just give us information. He gives revelation. He takes the veil off and gives us revelation that makes available transformation in our lives. And we thank you for it today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So I don't know if you've noticed, but here lately I've been doing, as we start the reading of the word, I've been having everyone stand to honor the reading of the word of God. And so I want to take a moment and explain why we're doing that. You know, we are not a super liturgical congregation, which liturgical means just that we do things just because that's why we do them. When we do things, it's on purpose. And as the church has grown out of the dark ages, the Protestant Reformation happened, and we've gained a lot of ground as far as not being religious. But there were some things that got thrown away that we should have never thrown away. We kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. And one of those things is the veneration and the honor of the Word of God. And we're talking about living in light of eternity, right? That book is an eternal book. Are you with me? It's the living word of God. It's alive and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of one's heart. It's the only book on the face of the earth that reads you as you read it. And you can go through the most terrible things, and that word of God is like a rock, an anchor. And so let's do this. As we begin reading today, I'm going to ask you all to stand. Let's stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to read the word, and when I finish, let's make a good declaration. This is an ancient Christian practice. It's called a call and respond. I will read the word. And when I'm finished, all of you will answer by saying, this is the word of the Lord God. Amen. We're receiving his word with veneration, recognizing that we're about to dive into the living word of God. And it's not just my opinion, it's God's word. Are you with me? So I'm going to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 53. The title of my message today is Receiving Forgiveness. Now, listen, not understanding that you're forgiven, but receiving forgiveness, those are not the same thing. And we're going to get into it. You ready? Let's lean into the word of God today. Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord God. Amen. You may be seated. It starts out by saying something. It's really interesting. You know, when you talk about the difference between understanding that you're forgiven and receiving forgiveness, I pointed out that those are two different things. Now, you might ask, Pastor Will, why are we talking about, I thought we were talking about living in light of eternity. So let me give you, let me set it in the context here. Because I'm honestly, I promise you, if you listen to me, you're going to, things are going to click with you today. Things are going to click if you listen. We're going to have to undo some tradition, but forgiveness is actually a lot more eternal and a lot better than you even realize. Oh, he just forgave me. No. Listen to me now. Remember, we said we live in light of eternity, okay? So your whole life from beginning to end, the entire life from beginning to end is going to be like the worst day of fourth grade. I mean, you remember it. You were there, but it's the shortest thing you're ever going to do. Your whole life is actually, your whole life here on earth is actually the shortest thing you're ever going to do. You are eternal. You are a spirit. Are you with me? This is the shortest thing you're ever going to do. And you remember we talked about chronos and kairos. Chronos is, we get our word chronological, and it's just the length of time. But kairos is a different kind of time. It's the opportune time. It's just the right time. Kairos is when eternity steps into time. Are you with me? So now, why would we talk about forgiveness in this context? Because we're talking about eternity. Listen to me now. Every time, every single time that you confess, eternity steps into time, because what he knew from the foundation of the world and paid for in the past is applied to your present by the power of the Holy Spirit and affects your future. See it? Every time that you confess and receive forgiveness, eternity steps into time. Are you with me? So it says, surely, surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word surely, it's not like what we use, surely, surely. I mean, it means without a doubt. This is beyond contestation. It is a fact. That's what he's saying. Absolutely, without a doubt, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Are you with me? It's a fact. It's a done deal. Now remember, going back to Ephesians, when we start talking about eternity, before God ever said, let there be light, before he ever said, let there be light, he knew you. He had a plan and a purpose for you. It was a purpose and a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and hope, or an expected end, a reason to expect good. Before he ever said, let there be light, he had a plan, he had a purpose. He knew you before time ever began. Are you with me? Let's get into this now. So he knew every mistake you would ever make. He knew everything that would go wrong in you. That's what iniquity means. The word iniquity, has anybody ever driven between here and Tulsa and you see the trees on 51 or the Cimarron Turnpike and they all kind of lean one way because the wind is always blowing that way? That's iniquity. You grow up a certain way and you grow crooked. Are you with me? That's iniquity. You grew crooked. And he bore that so that you could begin to grow straight again. Are you with me? He bore your griefs. He carried your sorrows. Before you ever committed the first sin, God knew you were going to do it. God and Jesus figured out how to get it paid for so it wouldn't come between you and them. And the Holy Spirit knew how to apply it to you in your life. Are you with me? So when we talk about receiving forgiveness, we are actually literally talking about eternity stepping into time. Are you with me? So watch this now. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace. The word chastisement there means punishment. And the word peace there is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what it means. The punishment that brings nothing missing and nothing broken into my life, he carried. Boy, you better get your life right. God's gonna judge you. No, God's already judged the world. What God comes to deal with in judgment is evil, not people. But when people won't let go of evil, evil drags them into judgment that God never intended for them to have. And the proof is that Jesus carried that judgment, and you don't have to have it. So if you find yourself, the Bible says, yes, Lord, I will. Thank you. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Corinthians, judge yourself and you won't be judged. And if you are judged, that word is chastised, right? If you find yourself under judgment, it's chastisement. And the only reason God even allows it is so that you're not lost with the world. Ow, that hurts. I'm not doing that again. God's heart is for you. He's already made up his mind about you. God has already made up his mind before you were ever born. His mind was made up about you. To prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a future and hope. Are you with me? And your whole life, so let's get into it. Yes, I will, thank you. So my next scripture is this, John chapter 19 and verse 30. Watch this now. Jesus is on the cross. So when he had received the sour wine, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now that word in the Greek, Tetelestai, I can't say it right. It was a word that the Greco-Roman community used. The Romans were a military machine. They conquered everybody, almost. Never conquered the Irish, though. Just going to put that out there. How the English managed to do that still bothers me. I don't know. But anyways, that word, it is finished, was the word that a general would use, not when the fight was over. They would rout them. They would rout the enemy, and the enemy's doom was certain. We have won this fight, even though there's still fighting to be done. This is over. And they would call out, it is finished. And the general would just leave the field. He wouldn't even stay because the battle's won. There's still some fighting going on, skirmishes and stuff, but you've been routed. You are defeated. So either we're going to kill every single last one of you or you're going to give up, but we have won. So on the cross, when he said it is finished, that's Jesus, the King of salvation, having born, taken all of our grief, all of our sorrow, all of our sickness, all of our disease. By the way, the word grief there, and the word sorrow there, I don't know why we don't just translate it the right way. It's sickness and disease. Dare you to go look it up. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our disease. Are you with me? He bore our sin. He bore our sickness. Right? Peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. Are you with me? he took it on himself, and then right before he gave up the ghost and went down into Hades to pay, to take the chastisement. What happened on the cross was just him becoming sin for us. What happened while he was in the grave was him taking the chastisement. So that when he rose from the dead, that is our guarantee. It's paid in full. Every drop of wrath from God was poured out on Jesus Christ for you. God willingly poured it out, Jesus willingly accepted it, and the Holy Spirit excitedly applies it to you. He's jealous for you. Come on, somebody. Am I doing all right? You with me? Look. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm telling you, there are people that has struggled with shame and condemnation today. You're going to walk out of here free. Today. Because of God's word. Because of God's word, rightly divided. Right? Remember, we said eternity is you. The whole point is not, bless me, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. Remember, we talked about the first things and the second things, C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, if you try to just get the second things, oftentimes you don't get either. But if you focus on the first things, God throws in the second things for free. Yes, God wants you blessed. And for you to be a blessing. Yes, absolutely. But the whole point of time, of your lifespan, is you becoming the person that he created and redeemed you to be. Are you with me? It's about you, not about what you have, but about who you are. But when you walk and learn and grow and mature into the person he created and redeemed you to be, blessing, 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 blessing. That's how it was with Jesus. Yeah? Come on. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Follow hard after me. Are you with me? Oh, that bad thing happened. Boom, there's God's goodness. I did something bad. Boom, there's God's mercy. Keeping me right in the middle of the road. Listen to me now. God loves you. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. He's just one step back. He already made his mind up about you. It is finished. It's already been done. We understand that, but do we receive it? Because there's something about being forgiven. So here's the thing. We get stuck in this, dare I. Yeah. So we get stuck in this nonsense. Do good, and get blessed and get to heaven. Oh, I messed up. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, I messed up. Forgive me, Lord. When you really understand what forgiveness is, when you really step into eternity and you realize that in that moment, Jesus is personally present, experiencing your repentance. Personally. Right? It's one thing to say, oh, I'm sorry. But that's not repentance. Are you with me? Repentance isn't, I'm sorry. Repentance is, where do I go there? I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just tell you this. The word repentance means, the word in the Greek is metanoia. And it means to think differently afterwards. So it implies a change. It implies a change. A change of purpose. I didn't say something to live up to. Remember, under the new covenant, the law is not something we live up to anymore. It's something we live out. in unbreakable relationship with Jesus. Because his mind's already made up about you. Are you with me? So let's look at this now. Hebrews chapter 10. Here we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. See that? Once for all. Are you with me? So, look at it now. He didn't desire the sacrifice. He didn't desire the sacrifice. It wasn't about the sacrifice. He desired you. And for you to have a way to come into his presence without anything between you. But he is just. But he is love. And in Christ Jesus, justice and mercy have kissed. He can be absolutely just in forgiving you your sin because he paid the price for it himself. And he can be absolutely merciful because he loves you and he gave you the choice and you chose to receive. Everybody say receive. Receive forgiveness. Not just know about it, receive it. Living in light of eternity, repentance is a way of life for the believer. Confession is a way of life for us, but it's not this confess your sin, keep a short account with God, or you're going to go to hell, and God's mad at you, and he's watching every little thing you do. It is, I love you, and I recognize that misses the mark of what you've got for me and the person you've created and redeemed me to be, and I want to step back up to the person you created and redeemed me to be, and so I'm coming back to you, Lord. That's repentance. Are you with me? It's nothing to do with measuring up. It's about growing up. And the more mature you get, the more you become like your parents, if they're mature. In a perfect world, don't worry. Kids laughing at the front end. Okay. Are you with me, though? So he says, I didn't want the offering. It's not about the offering. It's not about your due. Do this and do that, and I'm pleased with you. That's not what he was saying. He takes away the first in order to behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. That's talking about Jesus. Way before you ever messed up, Jesus is like, hey, it's written about me. I'm coming, and I'm going to handle that. It's going to be on me to make it right. And he did, and he does. Every time, all the time. Say that with me. Every time, all the time. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, what you didn't hear me say is, God doesn't care if you sin. That's not what I said. I like what Pastor Jacob says. He says, listen to what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. Right? Don't fill in the blanks and don't let the devil fill in the blanks. Don't fill in the blanks and don't let the devil fill in the blanks. Are you with me? I come to do your will, O God, and by that will, we are sanctified by the giving of the body of Jesus. That word sanctified is the word for holy. I'm not holy, Pastor Will. You didn't see me at the weed last night. Holy means set apart. Now, there's a God side and a man side to every subject in the Bible. I teach the God side first because then it makes the man side so much easier. All you've got to do is make the choice. It's God that makes the change. Are you with me? So, there is, in theological terms, which theology isn't hard, people just need to explain it and put handles on the truth so that you know. When Jesus died for you, you were, everybody say it, set apart. To be matured in a process of becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be. And the further along you get maturity-wise, the more set apart you are for him. That's holiness right there. It's not perfection. We mix up righteousness with holiness. Righteousness is right standing with God. You will never be more righteous than you are right now if you believe in Jesus. Now, you will become more and more and more and more holy as you yield to Jesus. Are you with me? Ooh, it's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Woo-hoo! Are you with me? You feel the Spirit that, listen, do you feel the heavy, the glory? Do you feel the heavy? God wants to get something through to your heart today. This performance acceptance syndrome that the church has foisted on its people is wrong. Are you with me? Why do you think the Bible, good night, Lord Jesus, help me. All right. Since the Lord has given his own body as a sacrifice for our sin, the burden of our forgiveness is on him, not on us. Nothing you could ever do could have brought forgiveness. Everything he has done brings forgiveness. It is therefore a gift of grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Ephesians chapter 2. Watch this now. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Am I going slow enough? Let me read that again. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. And rich means you have more than enough. Right? So if you go to the restaurant and you take your girl with you and you buy her whatever she wants and she says, how can you afford this? And you go, I'm rich. What does that mean? You've got more than enough to cover the tab. So God being rich in mercy, what does that mean? He's got more than enough mercy to cover your tab. Are you with me? He's not going to run out. I'll give you this much, but don't do it again. Are you with me? This is why when we confess, eternity steps into time. I can see it starting. I can see the little lights going on in your heads. I can see it. I can see the Holy Spirit moving in you. Watch this now. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, sin, I broke the rule. I broke the law. I did the wrong thing. I did it willingly, knowingly. I broke it. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. So mercy is when you don't get what you did deserve, but because of the great love with which he loved us, grace steps in and gives you what you didn't earn and you don't deserve. And I didn't write that. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's the eternity part. Watch it now. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works. Say it with me. Not of works. Read it again. Not of works. I didn't write that. There's only one way to read that, and it makes sense. People want to cut that part of it out and bring you back to performance. Are you with me? I have had children in school for years and years, and their grades were a subject we talked about. It was a subject we talked about. It was way down here on the list. Because their performance wasn't as important to me as their personality and their character. Their walk with God, how they got along with other people, their maturity. See the difference? You can make great grades and just be a jerk. You know what? You can follow all the rules in the Bible and just be a terrible person to be around. And if you don't believe me, just go read about Jesus. Sometimes people just need to read the next verse. Jesus was persecuted by people that kept every jot and tittle and every rule. We would call them holy men. And Jesus said, you're like a whitewashed tomb. You're dead on the inside. So just because you can keep a rule doesn't make you spiritual. Just because you can keep a rule doesn't make you spiritual. Just because you can keep a rule does not make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is when your heart stands at attention at the mention of his name. When you do something that hurts his heart and it hurts your heart because you did it, and that's why you feel conviction, it's because, I want to be who you created and redeemed me to be, and I've messed that up. So you run to him, not from him, boldly. I'm getting ahead of myself. Watch this now. Again, we're talking about eternity. Next verse. Everybody say, read the next verse.
Read the next verse.
We follow rules of biblical interpretation here for a reason. Four is a connecting word. We're talking about the same thing, same subject. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works, which God knew and prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you didn't hear me say we weren't supposed to do good works, but we're saved by grace through faith. We are his workmanship. Now again, I mentioned this last week. That word workmanship in the Greek is poema. We get our word poem from it. You and God are partnered in the book of time, writing the poem of your life. And that poem is a process. And some lines are bad and sad. And some lines are happy and glad. And they all work together into a tapestry and a poem that one day you will step out of the book of time and be able to read the autobiography that you wrote with God. That's your life. How do you want your poem to read? Guys, how do you want your poem to read? So in order for us to see grace clearly, we see in Ephesians, we see man at his worst, dead in sin. We see God's character, rich in mercy and filled with love. We see the Lord's purpose, which is to show off the riches of his grace and his love to you. He just wants to spoil you rotten. But he loves you too much to be a bad parent to you, so he's not going to give you something that you're not ready for. A lot of us are waiting, yes, I will. So I just heard the Holy Spirit say, listen to me, many of us are waiting for God to bless us with something. And we've got it wrong. God is waiting for us to grow into being able to handle that thing. Are you with me? Some of us are looking for a relationship. Right? God, send me the right one. And Jesus is going, no. Become the right one. Become the right one. Become the right one. Because until you're the right one, I can send the right one to you, but it won't stick. And what he intends for you is to prosper you, not to harm you, not for you to fail. Right? Come on, somebody. I didn't write these words. We are his workmanship, his poem. We are writing the story of our life together with God in the book of time. Okay? Oh, goodness. Kaida, go on and come up. I'm going to take a left. Let's go to 1 John 1:9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse. We always get this idea, and it, again, it's either you or the enemy filling in the blank. We get this idea that God, I've repented for that 15 times. So he's running out of mercy, and I need to. The Bible says that he takes our sins and puts them as far away from us as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. Watch this. He's not just faithful. First of all, faithful means every time. Remember, we said this already. Faithful means every time. All the time. Can be counted on. Faithful. Trustworthy. Can be trusted. He's faithful and he's just. He's right to do it. He's right. How do I say that? The Lord Jesus Christ has given you the right to be forgiven. And not just forgiven, cleansed. Read the next part of that. He's faithful and just to forgive you. See it? But he's not remembering it. Well, I forgave you, but I remember you did it. to cleanse you from all. Everybody read that with me. All. I looked that word up in the Greek. It's the word panta. Guess what it means? All. Every. Every single time, every single thing, all of it with nothing missing. He doesn't just forgive you, but I got to keep an eye on you now. When you confess your sins to God, eternity steps into time. And he does forgive you because he's already made up his mind. It's already done. It's a done deal. He did it already. And to cleanse you. What does that mean? The effects of you missing the mark. The hurt, the damage, the pain. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. If you confess your sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What's the most important word in that sentence? Put 1 John 1:9 up there again. Most important word in that sentence. I'll give you extra credit. Which one? Somebody who thinks they see it. Come on, come on. Come on. It's the first word. If. Remember, there's a God side and a man side. He won't force you. He's love. He won't pressure you. He won't force you. We talk about conviction a lot, but conviction, we use that word like we're in a courtroom. But the word conviction in the Greek, it means to convince. It doesn't mean to condemn. It means to convince. When the Holy Spirit's getting after you about something, listen to me now, we're gonna have an altar call. This is not a stage, it's an altar. And I want, if the prayer team would go ahead and stand up and make your way to where you need to go. I just know by the Holy Spirit that some of you are struggling with shame and condemnation because you know about forgiveness and you've confessed your sins, but you haven't received. You haven't received forgiveness. So it's not a reality because it's there and it's yours, but you, the if, you've got to take that and apply that to you in a way that you understand he has forgiven you. And he's not thinking about it anymore. He's not holding it against you anymore. He's taken it and thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed your iniquities from you. God loves you. And eternity steps into time when we receive the forgiveness. When we receive it. But we have to receive it. Don't be a little Pharisee. We always look at that as like, you know, I'm just trying to follow the rules and I think I'm better than you. And that's part of it. But sometimes look at John 3:16. That was a conversation between a Pharisee and Jesus. And Jesus said, you must be born again. How can I be born again? Go back into my mother's womb. No, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's who he created you to be. I'm gonna tweak you now. Watch this now. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's who he created you to be. that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's who he redeemed you to be. Why do you think I use that language all the time? It's Jesus' language. He created and redeemed you for a purpose. And it's not just to live your life by a certain set of rules. It's about becoming the person that he loves and saw before he ever said, "Let there be light." Yes. Becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be.